Can you then find Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11? And that's where our text is today. If you're able to physically stand, please do so. And I'll read the word of God audibly. You read along quietly there, and then we'll ask God to help us understand what we have here. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of lights and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. Our Father, help us now to understand the truths of your word. Help us, young and old, to see what you're saying to us. Help us to apply it rightly to our lives, and then prepare us who love Christ and who know Christ to finish the race that you have prepared for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Finish your race. Finish your race. As we think about this subject matter again, the Christian life is often referred to as a race. You remember that from last week? And we are often referred to as athletes. Now, this race, the Christian race, always involves and requires faith, and it's going to involve some real difficulty. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, right? And so the theology that's being floated around today that is inviting people to Christ and have all of your problems resolved and issues solved, that's not biblical. There are going to be troubles once you become a Christian, and actually your troubles may be even more severe. But God says to us, don't be disheartened by that. I've overcome the world. Though you've got troubles in the world, I've overcome the world. We saw last week that looking at witnesses from the past will help us finish our race. We got chapter 11 that has all of this litany, this whole catalog of people that have lived through the difficulties of life, just like you and I. They didn't quit. They weren't perfect in the way they lived, but they finished, right? And so this pastor calls upon them and us to look back at the people that have lived in our past. And I say to you, you may have ancestors, you may have grandparents that were Christians, and they lived through some difficulties in life. Even if they weren't your relatives, you can look back at others in your own sphere of relationship and see that they made it through, okay? This is always helpful. And then verses 2 and 3 say, most assuredly, we need to look at Jesus because he'll help us finish our race. Today, what I'm proposing to you is that this pastor says to them and us, now you need to look at yourself. When you've looked at people that have lived in the past and been finished their race, they've been successful in getting done, crossing the finish line, making it on into glory. When you look at Christ that came and lived through all of the worst of life, Christ lived through challenges that none of us will ever experience, and he finished. Now What this text is calling upon us to do is to look at yourself. And so the question that I want to begin with is, what are you going to look for? When you look at yourself, what does this text ask us to look for? Two things. We're looking to see the struggle against sin, my struggle, your struggle against sin, and then I'm proposing to you, that's at verse 4, verses 5 through 11, we're looking to see the presence of the Lord's discipline. So let's dive in. Let's look then at the struggle against sin. And he calls it, look at verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. So the first thing that I would say to you, my friend, we saw that little athlete that wanted to finish. If you plan to finish this Christian life, and if you're a Christian, you must be planning. You wouldn't have joined up if you don't plan to finish. You have to deal with this issue. You've got to resist sin. You can't cave into it. You can't give way to it. Everybody has to deal with sin, and you have to learn to resist it. Why? Because sin is destructive. Sin is not your friend. Sin is disgraceful. Sin at times appears to be building you up, but the ultimate plan of sin is to tear you down. Right? So it brings the disgrace. Sin is deadly. Sin will actually kill you as a Christian. And so sin is not our friend, right? And it's also deceptive. You think about the Garden of Eden. There Eve is with everything in life to make her happy. And Satan convinced her that there was one thing missing. You see how deceptive sin is? And it'll do the same. You young people, I promise you that you're going to get offers to just try something that'll make your life better. And all it takes is one time. There's some dangerous things available to young people today. And I'm 66. It was kind of tough for me to get in trouble when I was your age. It's easy for you to do it. Everything's readily accessible to you. We had to work hard in my generation. Now, I'm not saying that we didn't get in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? We had to face some dangerous things like you. But you got to be very careful. You see, you remember in verse 1? Says you got to learn to lay aside the weight and the sin that clings so close to you. See, some sin is so deceptive that it just makes you think that I'm okay. You're okay with me. Go and mess with other sins. Don't mess with me. I'm good. It clings close because it's that deceptive. And so, therefore, we have to resist it because sin is not our friend. How do we resist sin? We have to resist sin in our thinking and our actions. The reason that I'm speaking to you right now, and I'm not just talking to young people, by the way. This is for all of us. We have to, in our minds, already have positioned ourselves that I am not going to yield to this temptation. I remember when I was working at Southwestern Bell, and we traveled a lot. And obviously we were on voucher, and the company paid for everything. We'd go to places. I remember we had a big meeting in Las Vegas, and ironically, the meeting was in a casino. And so I fly into Las Vegas, and I'm wondering, what? Here we are walking into a casino, and the meeting was upstairs, and they had this big spread laid out. You know, I've never seen this much food this expensive. And so that was the first day. The next few days, we were on our own. We got back, and many of the guys then turned in their vouchers. And their vouchers was two or three times higher than mine. And so my boss called me in. Why is your voucher so much lower? See, now all of a sudden, their vouchers become the standard. Now, you know what they'd done. They padded it with all of their gambling and everything else that they'd done. And so I get called on the carpet because I'm out of line. You see? And so the temptation was to cave in to the pressure. But no, I wasn't lying. I told the truth. Now you need to go deal with them. Right? So I'm saying to you that if you don't purpose in your mind that I'm going to be a good ambassador for Christ regardless of the pressure. You know, I travel with the executives at times. Well, I don't cave in just because this is what executives do. You have to make up your mind. Your thinking has to be right beforehand. And action. So we resist sin in our thinking and with our actions. The Bible says that sin needs to be hated. All right? Sin needs to be abhorred and mourned over. So you see, that's the thinking aspect. But the Bible also says that sin needs to be confessed. It needs to be avoided. By the way, on some of these trips, when the group was going out to do things, I know what was going to be done. I didn't go. You remember, I grew up in that life. I was in a band for years, and so I grew up around all of that kind of lifestyle, getting high and all of the smoky scene. And that. So I'm not going to expose myself to that temptation again. So the Bible says, avoid it. I'm not Superman. You're not Superwoman, Superman, right? You have to learn to avoid sin when you know that it's going to be dangerous, because I've already told you that it's what? It's deadly. They would have loved to have not just destroyed my testimony, they'd love to drag me down and to get me exposed to many of the things they were in, right? And so you have to resolve that you're going to resist. So not only do you resist sin, but you have to resist it when it's painful. Resisting sin and sinful people can have painful consequences, both emotionally and physically. I don't want to make this all about me, but I do want you to know that this, I'm telling you the truth. When I was first saved, I had a running buddy. And you remember, I was saved out of the world. I was saved out of clubs and all of that. And so I had a running buddy. And when God saved me, I had to tell my running buddy. I mean, we were close. I can't do that anymore, man. Now, his heart was broken. He couldn't believe it, that even as a Christian, you can't go hang with me anymore. That was painful to have to let that relationship go. 4 or 5 years after I'd been saved, I got a knock on my front door. This was my friend who we separated years before. He came to my house to want to know about Jesus. We went in my basement. Right in my basement, he came to Christ. Now, it was painful. During that period of time, we had to separate, right? But you see, you want the end result. If you want God to be glorified, you have to be willing to resist sin, even when it's painful, all right? Some believers, by the way, the believers that we're looking at right here, they had suffered rejection. They had suffered financial loss. Some of them had been imprisoned. Turn to Hebrews 10:34. You look at Hebrews 10:34. It says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one." So these believers knew what it meant to suffer physical loss, even when you had to resist sin. So my brother, my sister, here's what I'm saying to you. We must resolve not to compromise with sin regardless of the consequences. Don't yield to the pressure. Don't yield to the temptation of getting revenge. Someone has hurt you severely. And you cave in to cuss them like they cuss you. You see what you've done? You have not resisted. Now you have actually compromised. You've done more damage than good. And so what this one verse is teaching us is that if you want to finish your race, you cannot do what other people do that are just willing to stand around and not finish. You can't do what other people do that are simply competing. They either got to be first or they don't run. Christians have to be humble, and they have to accept the fact that if I must lose to win, you understand what I'm saying? If I have to lose some of my prized possessions to win and finish, or to finish rather, I'm willing to do that. So that is then our struggle against sin. The last thing that this section presents for us, if we're going to finish our race, and this is the most important part. So shake yourself and say, okay, I want to try to get this. Because this issue right here is probably one of the most understood in Christian circles. I want to talk to you about the presence of the Lord's discipline. I saw it fresh and new myself. Even though I've been a Christian since I was 28, I've been a Christian for almost 40 years. I saw this differently as I thought about it this weekend. So the first thing is that you have to receive discipline from the Lord. Now, the word for discipline is paideia. Phonetically, I spelled it there for you. It's P-A-I-D-E-I-A, paideia. What it means is providing guidance, instruction, and training for right living. Okay? Now, you got to follow this. Now, please get this. To discipline is to provide, it means that you're providing guidance, instruction, and training to live right. Why do I want to live right? So I can finish. You get it? Discipline is never, never, never a negative thing in the kingdom of God. Discipline is a good thing. Don't fight against it. Now, you resist sin, don't resist discipline, you see? I want to learn to resist sin, but when God is disciplining me, don't fight him. And yet, it's natural for all of us to do it. You say, no, not me, Willie. Hang on. I want to demonstrate to you that it's a natural thing to resist the discipline of God because we don't always see it as discipline. All right? Discipline, providing guidance, instruction, and training for right living. Now, follow me because it develops. God uses his word and the circumstances of life to discipline us. Most of you will be familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16, probably one of the more familiar verses in the Bible. All scripture is breathed out by God, right? And profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. You see this right here? Does it sound like the same thing? The word of God is what God uses, first of all, to teach us right from wrong. Every Christian has to be taught right from wrong. This is what's right, this is what's wrong, because you had it all wrong before you were saved. You come to Christ, you got the mind of Christ, you got a new mind. Now God says, now that I've given you a teachable mind, let me teach you how to live what? Right. So, the Word of God then teaches us. But now once God has taught us, once you know the right thing and you don't do it, then you must be reproved. The Word of God reproves us when we've been taught right and we do wrong. The etymology of the word means, if you think about wrestling, if you think about a wrestling coach, the wrestling coach then will teach you how to wrestle. But then reproof means to pin you down. God literally has to pin us down for us to listen because we're flopping all over the place when he's instructing us in the way to live. So reproof pins you down to say, be still and listen. Correction stands you up and says, now let's do it again. Okay? And then training is what takes you forward. So the word of God is used in giving us guidance, instruction, and training. Most of you, again, probably will know Romans 8:28, right? We know that all things, what, work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So God uses all circumstances of life to discipline us. Now you say, well, I don't know about that, Willie. Don't cut me out yet. Follow me. This is one of the most important things we're going to talk about today. And actually, we're going to get done here soon. Now, look at what's next. I'm saying to you that forgetting the value of God's discipline when life is painful causes major problems for the Christian. Think about what I just said. Forgetting the value of discipline when life is painful. Life, and every one of us here will admit that there are times that your life gets painful, right? And when your life is painful, what do you want? Relief. Every one of us wants it. That's what I'm saying to you. That's when you have to be careful. You can't then discount the value of what I'm going through here. Because all I want to do is to get out when God is teaching me something. You get it? So, look at verse 5. You got verse 5? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Look at what it says. And have you, what's the next word? Forgotten. You see it? You see it? He's writing to Christians who've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes. They've been put out of communities. We just read it. Some of them have been put in prison. And what do you think? They have forgotten. Because all that they want at this point is what? Relief. It's no different than you and I. If you were in Houston or in those areas in Texas or if you were in Florida, right now, for the Christian, the major thing on their mind is what? When is this storm going to pass? Right? I mean, you'd be the same way. And so we need this reminder. Don't forget the value of discipline while you're in the situation. Then look at the rest of it. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. I can almost assure you, most Christians are not thinking about reproof right now in Florida because they're simply looking for, and I'm not being critical at all. No different than these people right here. They'd lost their homes, their jobs, and they weren't thinking about God disciplining me because I need a job. I need food. I need, right? We're not talking about something that's far-fetched. This is human nature. And God is saying, I want to teach you to finish your race when you don't have a job. Right? When you don't have, quote, security. When your friends and your family have rejected you, I want to teach you, you can still finish. Yeah, you need to be taught that, Willie. But you keep trying to fix it because you think you broke it or somebody else broke it. You haven't realized that it's God who's doing this. Now, this is really important now, I'm telling you. The presence of the Lord's discipline is a very critical thing. So as you are in the difficulty of life, don't forget the value of what God may be teaching me. Because if I'm not thinking about being taught, you know what? I will not learn.
If all I want to do is some relief, I am not looking for any lesson, right, that I can learn. So it's important. That's the reason Christians need each other. You need someone with you that'll help you settle down and think it through biblically. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Stop, because there's always our tendency to try to figure it out. Isn't that what we do when we're going through things? Let's talk about this. I can't figure out why things are so bad with me. Why did the bottom fall out of my life? Wasn't that Job's issue? Why did the bottom fall out of my life? Am I living so badly? God, you got to speak to me. But you notice, he didn't get the lesson till at the end. God made sure he what? Went through the whole process. Because God doesn't have speed courses. Summer school, they cram a lot into just a few weeks. God doesn't have speed courses. He wants you to get every drop of the lesson. So it probably is going to take much longer than you thought. Every one of us thinks we're fast learners until you get in God's classroom and you realize you're not getting it as much as you thought. So don't take that minimally that you can forget. We do not get the benefit from trials when we forget the value of discipline. By the way, I want to show you something. It's essential that you can discern the Lord's discipline when you're in pain. What are you saying, brother? Well, look at the verse. You see, in verse 5, after it asks the questions, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. You know what that means? To regard lightly means that you don't even discern this as being discipline. You think I'm just having a bad week. Haven't you had that? I'm just having a bad month. You're not even asking whether God is teaching me something. You're not even asking if God is trying to teach me something. I'm just having a bad month. I'm trying to get my finances figured out. I can't figure out why all my friends are just attacking me the way they are. See, that's regarding the Lord's discipline lightly. You haven't even taken time to sit down and ask, Lord, are you teaching me something? Because all that I want at this point is what? Relief. I want things to get back to what I call normal. You see the problem? God is saying, I'm shaking up your normal. Because that's the way I teach you. If I leave things at normal, you don't learn. You say, well, that ain't the way I... Yeah, all of us are that way. God has to shake us up before we... Because all of us love our comfort level. Yes? I like it here. I like what I've learned about the Bible. I'm comfortable with what I know about God. God says, I'm not. So I'm going to move you on, and I'm going to shake up your situation some. And so you see what I'm saying? He says, don't regard discipline lightly. Financial situations, health situations, your family problems, job problems may not be just a rough time you're having, but it may be, in fact, the Lord's discipline. God may be the one that caused your boss to pass you over. God may be the one that was behind your boss giving you a bad review. God may be the one that's not letting your family problems get reconciled. And if all that you want to do is fix it, you're going to miss the lesson that he's teaching. Just like with Job. Job's only question was, Lord, talk to me. I want to get this thing fixed. He was looking for answers. And so when I say receive the Lord's discipline, this is the point. The Lord's discipline proves his love for us and our relationship to him.
Got verse 6? For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, it is in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who discipline us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and lives? Listen, verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for good that we may share his holiness. Amen. And so I want you to keep that in mind, that the Lord proves his love for us through the discipline that he shares. One last point, and then we're going to finish up. A thought that I want you to remember here. You see verse 8? If you are left without discipline in which all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. That's a grave verse. You need to think about that verse a minute. I want you to take time and think about that verse. That verse says that there are some church members that are illegitimate children. This pastor is writing to church members. And every one of us needs to do self-examination. What are you saying, Brother Willie? I'm saying to you, this verse says you shouldn't just look at other church members and seem like they have no problems and think that I want to be like them. They can sin. They can seem to get away with everything. Nothing ever happens. Look at the verse.
What does the verse say?
If you are left without discipline, in which what? Who is everyone? All Christians. So if you are in the midst of Christians and you're not being disciplined, you are what? You're not a Christian. If you can do your sin and your dirt and God never deals with you, that's dangerous. God has left you alone. Do you want to be left alone? Absolutely not. This is a serious matter. So I need to be looking at my life and recognize God loves me because he's disciplining me. And if I don't have discipline, I need to check up. Examine myself. This is a really serious matter. And lastly, then, when I speak of the presence of the Lord's discipline, is that not only should we receive discipline, but we need to receive discipline when it's painful. You see verse 11? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline is unpleasant because God has designed it that way. God has designed discipline to be unpleasant. And as I thought through it, this is the summation that I reached. I believe that one of the values of discipline being painful is that it serves as a reminder. Doesn't it? If you have hurt your arm or your toe, I don't know how many, you get up at night, it's dark, and you're trying to work your way to the bathroom or whatever, and what happens, lo and behold, occasionally, you're going to hit your toe on something. And I don't know what it is about hitting your toe when it's dark, but it just seems like that's one of the most excruciating. The pain just, it's like it just said, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to let you think about this for a little. You ever had that? You can kick it, you can shake it, but it's just, we're gonna think about this one for a while. Now, what does that do for you the next time?
I don't know about you, but I do one of these. You ever do that? I want to make sure I check. Why? Because that's a reminder to me, I don't want that pain again. Right. Yeah? That's a reminder. And so when God disciplines in pain, he says to you, don't do that again. And you say, yes, Lord. I don't want to go through that. Right? It was too painful. And then I believe it serves as a restrainer. It restrains me from going there again. So discipline is unpleasant by God's design. But when you endure the pain, right, and when you learn the lesson, then godly character comes out. You see? When I have gone through this unpleasant situation at the job, and I didn't cave in like all of the rest of the people did, I maintained godly character as I went through. God then says, when you come out, there's going to be even a greater, a sweeter fragrance, godly fragrance that comes from your life, okay? When I have endured the pain, learned the lesson, then you see what it says here? Then the outcome is the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So in conclusion, my brothers, my sisters, I simply ask you, what do you see when you take a careful look at yourself? What do you see when you take a careful look at yourself and your situation? Are you resisting sin in your thinking? Are you resisting sin in your actions? Do you mourn over sin? Do you hate it? Do you find yourself confessing sin and avoiding it? Do you find yourself putting it to death? Another question for you. Have you resolved not to compromise with sin even when the consequences are costly and dangerous? Even when it's going to cost you something, have you just resolved that I'm not going to cave? I'm not going to cave in even though I've been threatened. If you don't think about it beforehand, you find yourself caving in when the pressure is really difficult. When you examine your life, and this is important, can you earnestly discern that the Lord is disciplining you through your hardships? Can you discern when the Lord is disciplining you through your trials and through your test? Can you say to the Lord, as Paul finally had to do, thank you? Job, you remember what at the end of Job says, had to say, Lord, I put my hand on my mouth or I have spoken out of turn. Forgive me for questioning you. Can you discern when the Lord is bringing discipline to you? Are you learning the lesson that God is teaching you through your specific trial so that you can lay aside your sin and run your race? One or two more questions. I want you to really think about these questions. Do you feel you are growing and maturing as a child of God? The only way that that's going to happen is through the discipline of the Lord. I certainly hope your answer is yes, I am growing and maturing as a child of God. And I would say to you, my brother, my sister, keep on growing. Keep on maturing by resisting sin and receiving the Lord's discipline so that you and I and all God's children can finish our race in life with joy. But if you realize today that God does not discipline you for your sin, if you realize today that God does not discipline you for your failures, if you realize today that you seem to get away with everything, then you need to be concerned. Because God disciplines those he loves. Did we just read that? My friend, you need to be concerned if you don't see God bringing discipline to you when you sin. Look at Jesus, though, and you will see that he can save you right now, right out of your troubles. He can save you. He can deliver you. He does not want you in despair. God does not want you without discipline. Come to Christ. God brought you here today for you to know that Christ not only can, but he will save you. You don't need to go through life wondering whether God loves you. He wants to prove to you today that he loves you right where you are, and he will love you till eternity.
Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. And as we have seen and contemplated, Lord, we actually want to thank you for your discipline. As natural as it is for us to seek relief, we want to say to you today that, Lord, we want to endure every situation to the end. We want to learn to count it all joy when we encounter the various trials and tests of life, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And we want to see every situation, every test, every trial to the end that you have planned. Lord, we want to mature individually. We want to mature collectively. So we simply say, be free to complete your plan and your will in our lives for your glory. And today, if there is one that does not know and love Christ, would you work miraculously and wonderfully on their behalf? Bring them into the light of glory so they'll never walk in darkness again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.